Okay, and we're back. Finally. We are finally back.
Yeah, we're here. I'm here.
Yeah. We're here. Hopefully.
Oh my gosh, yeah, I'm here. That was just mad. It's the app, yo. It's the app. Because it was waiting, and they were just like, oh, you should, oh, if you pay $3, then you can, like, jump ahead. I'm just like, I'm supposed to be on this? Hello, my name is on the list.
Exactly. Like, hey, I belong here. But, you know, we didn't, I don't think we have a formal, like, a docket, you know, so to speak, when it comes to this week. This is actually our third year recording. So I want to say happy 3-year anniversary to Iris, to Q, Chris. She'll be on a little bit later. I want to say congratulations. We made it. We made it to 3 years. And ironically, 337 episodes. Not a lot of shows can say that. I have seen a lot of podcasts. They might have 10 episodes and then they call it quits. So, you know, we have done so much with so little.
And we've come some. And not just one show. Not just one show. We have currently, what, 5 now?
Yep.
We have 5 shows.
Yep.
That are current. That are currently going. And let's not even forget the other shows that we have retired.
Yeah. We definitely sunset a few. Off the top of my head, I know with Sunset, Good, Bad, and Unavailable. Which other one? Media Maintenance. We did the show I had with Steph for a while. Shout out to her. We had a lot of shows. We still have Young, Black, and Beautiful. You know, the ladies, they have that show, and that is their baby. Q has, you know, his rants, which I'm sure he's going to do more often. We have premium content coming soon. We have merch, obviously, but more importantly, like, we got each other 3 years later.
Let's not even forget the sports messages. You were able to listen to it yesterday. You were able to listen to it live yesterday. It was an amazing show. My vision of it is coming into focus, and I'm ready. It's ready to launch. It's ready to go. It's ready to shoot for the stars.
Yeah. Yeah. So I guess I can ask Iris. She was like the most recent person to come on to the show. She started as just like a guest. She would come on here and there. And then I think we messaged Chris and was like, you know what? Like, you know, people are starting to fall off. And Iris seems to be the most consistent person. I think you were doing a show at the time, Iris. You didn't really have a lot of time. And then you're like, you know what? I don't mind coming on and talking to y'all. Y'all seem all right. Y'all ain't crazy. But, you know.
I just get drunk sometimes.
Yeah, agree. So how do you feel? I know you've done like shows and like other things before, but like how does it feel to know like you are an actual podcaster? Like you can just go out and be like, you know what? I do a podcast.
It's funny because I definitely just be like casually dropping that on people and they're like, oh my gosh, really? And I'm like, yeah, but like, I'm like, don't everybody say that these days? But yeah, we definitely do have the consistency that... Yeah. Some other folks don't quite have, no shade,
but. I've gotten a lot of compliments for the, you know, the Young, Black, and Beautiful episodes. You know, I was like, oh, like we've done a lot of shit. And, you know, I'm forever grateful for you and Chris, because if it was just, you know, if Q and I were just left to do shows, like, you know, even with Lou coming on for the sports desk, like, Q and I would do like a 3-hour show and it would just be us shooting the shit about nothing. We wouldn't even, at one point we wouldn't talk about sports. So Lou has kind of been like the bridging gap, you know, so to speak, for that. And then you guys for Young, Black, and Bothered, it's like, yo, like it just feels good. We finally hit our groove, we hit our stride, and I think we're the only podcast that I know of other than like the Black Guy Who Tips or something, who put out in less than a year, we put out 132 episodes. That is a lot of fucking content.
Ooh.
That is a lot of content. If you count like the Young, Black, and Beautiful episodes that were on Stereo when Stereo used to pay us. Stereo, remember when you used to pay us? Remember that? Those are some fun times. Yeah. Those were good times. We gave you good content. And now we're giving it to people for free. And we don't mind it because we enjoy it. But trust me, eventually, you know, we're going to have the premium up. And I cannot wait for people to actually get what's behind the paywall. I guess like a little like cliff note for people. Sports Desk will be behind the paywall. Young Black and Beautiful will be behind the paywall. You know, there will be other shows, the Q Rants, my little solo shows, any like tech shit, all that stuff is all going to be behind the paywall, mainly because like Young Black and Bothered is what started this and we love this show, but we want you guys to, you know, help us out a little bit. Like, you know, I understand it's the pandemic, not everybody got it, but if you do, cool, like help us out and then, you know, you'll get extra bonus content. But if you can't, guess what? We on Stereo pretty much every Tuesday until we decide we're taking a week off. Or, you know, you can just catch us on the podcast, you know, platforms that you listen to. Overcast, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Tidal, all those shits, mm-hmm. we got them. With that being said, though, we have a voicemail. I don't know who this is. I will just preface this by saying, don't get blocked. that's all I'm going to say. I'm trying to be nicer. Because, you know, it's retrograde and I don't need any bad karma like I've already previously had today. So let me just go ahead and play this.
How are you, Negroes? I want to...
See? Trying the little bit of patience that I do have. But here we are, alas.
That's just... the thing with Stereo. They haven't figured out how to do that just yet.
Absolutely not. I was going to do a throwback for the 3-year anniversary, and I wanted to start with this, but Chris isn't here, so I'll wait. Let's start with this article, because I'm not in a first 48 mood. The world's kind of fucking with us for retrograde, but I wanted to touch on this mainly because Q did not mention this to me. Apparently workers are pushing back against hospitals requiring vaccines. So according to AP News, Jennifer Bridges, a registered nurse in Houston, is steadfast in her belief that it is wrong for her employer to force hospital workers like her to get vaccinated against COVID-19 or say goodbye to their jobs. But that's a losing legal argument so far. I'm not going to read the entire article. I will put it in the show notes. How would you feel if your job pretty much required you to have the vaccine in order to return to work?
I don't want to return to work, so I would be like, I won't get it and keep my black ass home. Like, is that an option? But I know I noticed this early because this person works at a hospital.
Yeah.
So I noticed this early on in the pandemic. While shout out to all of our first responders that worked, our hospital folks who worked super hard during like peak pandemic. But I realized something real early on. They were kind of on the most like, ayo, fuck it type shit when it first started. Mm-hmm. Like it was people who I know who were like, you know, doctors and nurses. They were the first ones traveling again. Like, you know, they were just like out here and gatherings, get togethers and everything. I was seeing it all. So I'm like, that's not really surprising to me, but
yeah,
my job is requiring students to get vaccinated though.
Yeah. Like that I can understand. Cause I mean like, In that circumstance, the amount of people, cool. But for like hospital workers, I'm kind of on the fence of, but in general, like you're telling people that are probably 9 to 10 working from home that one, they have to return to work or they lose their jobs, or now, you know, they have to be vaccinated to return to their jobs. So it's like there's a whole bunch of fucking caveats. And I'm starting to wonder, are we going to get to this point in society where we have a lot of classism when it comes to these vaccines, where people are like, oh, you took the Johnson & Johnson. Like, like, what's wrong with you? Or, oh, you took the Moderna. Like, nah, but I took the Pfizer and my shit's better. Like, you know, do y'all feel like that's going to happen eventually?
Honestly, like, whenever, if ever, like, when I just get vaccinated, the way I just won't be telling people. Because first of all, it'll be after the first couple waves of people getting vaccinated, finally people realize that they shouldn't be posting their vaccination cards all up on their mm-hmm. shit. But most people I know out here and stuff, there are people who are vaccinated out, like, because, like, for those of you who don't know, I'm currently living in Mexico, and there are people, so there's a large population of people who came from the States and they're out here. Some of the people are vaccinated, and you hear them talking about it like little here and there, and then there are some people who have very strong opinions against the vaccine, but you only talk about it here and there. Nobody's really out here just like talking about it like that, because it's just like, ayo, it's a very, It's more so personal, especially because you can still get the virus and everything. So
yep.
It's mainly making sure that you don't die, like you yourself. So
yeah,
I kind of think that that kind of just underscores the whole, like, I know that there are some people who can't get the vaccine because of allergies or whatever, or conditions or whatever, but you can like still pass it on to, like, I know somebody who was vaccinated. She's a nurse. She's vaccinated. She got COVID and mm-hmm. she had to do all the same things that one had to do. Granted, her symptoms were very mild, but she had to do all the same things that she would have had to do if she wasn't vaccinated. But her symptoms were just like less harsh. So
yeah, it's crazy. I don't know, like, if a lot of people are just not like grasping the concept that this shit is still here. And I don't want to make just a COVID show, but at the same time, it's one of those things. It's like, yo, like I want to get out just as much as y'all do, but people are getting out and they're doing the fucking most. Like I look at some articles, I'm like, yo, what the like, how, why? Like y'all are fighting in airports, y'all are fighting each other. When we get to the Nelly situation, we'll talk about that. I know Chris wanted to talk about it. I understand people have been in the house for the past, like, you know, 14, 15 months, and that's fine in some cases. But a lot of y'all are literally showing your entire whole ass. And y'all 9 out of 10, those people are the people who've already been outside all fucking year. It's like, yo, like, you've been outside. You've been going on, like, trips and stuff like that. Y'all been doing shit all fucking pandemic. But D.C. last weekend, yo, there's a Instagram page by the name of Washingtonian Probs, like Washingtonian Problems or whatever. The entire fucking weekend, all they did was just post videos of shit that happened in D.C. People are shooting at each other on U Street. People are having fights in Ben's Chili Bowl. People are going at bowling alleys, throwing balls. I'm like, what is happening to the point where people are going fucking, is it the vaccine that's fucking people up that much? Are we turning into like crazy ass zombies or something? What is it?
I really have no idea. I think it's a confluence of things. I think that people are pandemic fatigue, and now that a lot of, you know, a lot of the country is beginning to reopen fully.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we were deprived, and people, I ain't gonna say we, I'm just gonna say people, were deprived of the opportunity to like gather in big places. I mean, you can, excuse me, you can look at this argument at what happened in the first round of the NBA playoffs. All those instances of fans just completely showing their ass, throwing popcorn on Russell Westbrook, throwing water bottles at Kyrie, all of that. It's like,
yeah.
We've been bottled up for 17 months now.
Yep.
Actually 16 months, 15 months. About to be 16 months. But, and it's like, shit, I can't throw shit. I'm tired of throwing shit around my house or on the front porch or anything. Mm-hmm. Oh, we can go out in public now. I'm just gonna wow the fuck out.
Yep. And that's what's scaring me, because it's like, oh, like, you know, y'all could have actually, you could do these things at least, I'll say, for the last 4 months at most. Like, you could do these things. You could go to bars. You can go to restaurants. You could do these things. It's just people, like last weekend, they were doing the absolute fucking most. And now that, you know, it's not required at a lot of places to wear masks, I'm like, people are actually even more gross. I was like,
Maryland announced that they are ending all restrictions.
Yep.
July 1.
Yeah.
Like, no masks. No, everything, like all the precautions, all the restrictions, and everything is sunsetting on July 1st. So
I am fully prepared. I am fully prepared to be in the house all fall and winter because people want to fuck up all summer. I'm fine with this. I have adapted to the fact
that it's gonna get worse. Like this,
especially when it gets hotter.
Look at what happened. I mean, just think about and look at what happened last year. In the summer last year, we had a precipitous fall in cases, and then around September, October, numbers started to skyrocket. Why? Got colder. It's just like what happens with the truck and flu.
Yep.
You're fine during the warmer months because you can be outside, you can social distance outside and everything. But when it starts getting colder and you ain't trying to be cold, you know, or whatever, sky's through the roof. That's why it's critically important right now that people go and get vaccinated so that we can prevent this shit from reoccurring again in September, October, November.
Yeah, I just need people to be safe because you motherfuckers are absolutely wilding. I'm praying for all of y'all. Not your downfall. I'm just praying for you because, boy, that... Let's just go ahead and get into it. Because Chris is not here. I don't know if she's going to be here. So we're just going to start. Q, are you familiar what happened at Nelly's this weekend?
Given the fact that I am 426 miles away from Nelly's and D.C. in general, I've heard a little bit about it. In passing, because... Yeah, I will say this.
Wait, what can we say? What is Nelly's? Because
Nelly's. Okay, so we all know that June is Pride Month. Happy Pride to all of the, you know. So this past Saturday was the Pride Parade in D.C. And Nelly's is the most well-known LGBTQ bar in DC right now. That's still open. So apparently their security threw a woman out by her hair. I have tried to purge myself from the news for like the last 2 months. I don't watch much of it now. I'll go on the blogs, I'll go on, you know, Daily Coast or whatever, just to keep my mind abreast of what's happening politically. But I'm not tuning into it 24 hours, all the time. My mind is on sports right now. And not just for the sports desk, because, shit, that's a, you know, we didn't have this last year.
Yeah.
We didn't have this last year. Like, the NBA Finals was in fucking October. But, yeah. Greg, you want to go deeper into this? Like, that's
basically I got it. So, basically, a woman was dragged at a D.C. bar called Nelly's. It is the quintessential gay bar in Washington, D.C. When I say the quintessential, it is the quintessential white gay bar. It is the safe zone bar for the LGBTQ plus community in DC. If you are new in DC, if you're traveling to DC and you just happen to be a part of that community, it's the number one bar that they tell you to go to. The drinks are strong. It's not just, you know, and that community cheap. That goes to the bar. Yeah, they are cheap.
Especially the happy hour. I don't know if they still have their 1, 2, 3 happy hour.
Mm-hmm.
Greg, we went there a couple of times just for the happy hour.
It's one of those bars where, like, you know, and somebody would probably be like, oh my God, y'all went to a gay bar. Like, trust me, like, regardless of what you would think, like, most of them bars, like, you don't know they're gay until you actually walk into the bar. It's not like, you know, I don't want to say like anything derogatory or something that might like come back later is offensive. So I would just say it's not the bar that you would think of when you think of a gay bar. Nelly's is just one of the more popular bars. It's similar to how like Ben's Chili Bowl is like a staple of DC, Nelly's would be the staple for that community.
Most definitely. Yes, I would agree. And like, it doesn't really get crazy in Nelly's until after like 8, 9 o'clock.
Like, exactly.
Doing regular happy hour times, it's nice, and it's actually a nice chill spot where you can get cheap drinks and get shit trashed.
Yeah. Well, apparently what happened with this, though, Q, is a woman, a Morgan State University student, actually, 22-year-old Keisha Young, said that she went to Nelly's bar on Saturday to celebrate DC Pride. However, a DC bouncer actually ended up dragging her down a flight of stairs by her hair, leaving her with bruises and possibly a concussion. Nelly's apologized to her, fired the security vendor who, you know, a lot of these security guards are contractors. They don't work at this, you know, said establishment. But they fired the security vendor and will close for a week to evaluate this regrettable situation. They said that we have heard the concerns of the BIPOC and the LGBTQ communities, and we will assess. Here's the thing. We just talked last week about cancel culture and the lack of forgiveness, even when you yourself aren't wrong, you are still the company. So I'm talking in Nelly's regard here. Nelly's is the establishment. The contractor is the person. The contractor, when it came out, says that the bouncer mistook her for someone else. Nelly's did not.
How do you miss? It doesn't. What?
How does that justify the situation? Still confused.
Yeah. Yeah, not only was I confused, it says the bouncer dragged her down the stairs as people at the foot of the steps shouted and tried to pull him off of her. Now, anybody who has actually been to DC and actually went out to like a nightclub or something like this, a bar or something like that, you may have seen this before. Not to this magnitude where you're being dragged out by your hair, but a lot of bouncers, regardless of where you go, it doesn't even have to be DC, they don't give a fuck how they treat the patrons as long as the patron gets the fuck out of the door. They will body slam you to get you out of the door. The issue for me in this regard, though, is the fact that it was one, misplaced identity, if you want to call it that. Two, the shit should have never happened to begin with. And number three, Nelly's is saying that we have heard the concerns and they're going to close for 7 days to reevaluate. That's not what you do. You don't go silent for seven fucking days and then try to pop back up on next Saturday. Be like, you know what? Half price drinks for everybody who comes back to our establishment. No,
right.
You need to address that shit right then, right there. Don't say, hey, we're going to have to try to figure out this situation, put out a long disclosure. Hey, we apologize. We'll give a $75,000 like stipend to her, saying, you know what, we're sorry, and we'll pay for your medical bills. They didn't even do that. Apparently, she had to set up a fundraising page with a goal to raise $75,000 for medical bills, legal fees, and mental therapy. Now, some would say, do you really need that much? I don't say that. I say this. They were wrong. Nelly's need to come out of the fucking pockets. I want Nelly's. I want the fucking bar at this point. I want the bartenders, too. I want all the Stoli, the fucking Hennessy, the tequila, all that shit. It's mine. Because what you don't do is that shit. Not just like ever, but right now, what? Everybody got a fucking camera phone and people are seeing you do this shit. I've seen bouncers do some really, I've seen bouncers do some egregious shit to smaller people. Now, mind you, most bouncers are like 6'2", 280 fucking pounds that failed at football or some sport that they played. And you know what their night job or their part-time job is? Standing at the door, checking the ID, and occasionally tossing the motherfucker out. Some people are justifiably needing to get tossed the fuck out. Those are usually people who are trying to fight at the nightclub or the bar. And it's usually guys, it's usually men. Or sometimes you'll have a woman fighting another woman at a bar. And what they do is they pick up the woman and they carry her outside. They don't toss her outside. They also don't drag a woman by the fucking hair down a flight of steps. The video showed it all. Nelly's saw it all. And they said, what we're going to do is we're going to close for 7 days. Nelly's, I want your liquor license. I want your bar because, it says Nelly's sports bar has terminated with immediate effect the independent security vendor hired to protect our guests during Pride Week. Notice what they just said right there. The independent security vendor hired to protect our guests during Pride Week. So if he don't work there, why is he not arrested right now? He's an independent security vendor.
Yeah, three D should have locked his ass up.
Yeah, And you know,
actually, it's not 3D. Is that 3D?
That's 3D. That's 3D.
No, actually, that part of U Street is 4D.
So they were across the street then, because ain't 4D literally like two blocks away from there?
No. 3D, you know, 3D is Adams Morgan.
Adams Morgan is in the opposite direction.
So that's 4D, by Howard. Right.
So
that's actually
way,
4D.
Yeah, that should have.
And happened. Actually, it's not 2D. 2D is Glover Park. That's 4D. 4D should have.
Yeah, I just.
4D should have locked that motherfucker up.
Yeah, like I've said this before, and I have to say it again. This is okay. I gotta like take it back because I know how the words I'm about to say is going to come out, but I might as well say it. This is why I really don't fuck with black establishments like that no more. And Nelly's isn't even a black establishment.
Not a black establishment, but
yeah,
you know,
but that weekend it was.
You know who was in the city this week? A whole bunch of people of color.
Here's the thing. That's number one on my list, but at least in D.C., I can't speak for every other town or city or state, whatever. What I do know about D.C. is dependent on your dress code, depending on how you look, is how you get in. And a lot of people just either they go to kickbacks, they go to bars like, you know, H Street, they go to U Street, stuff like that. But U Street is notorious for looking at somebody who is black and saying, you know what, you can't get in with this. And then a white person comes in with a similar outfit and they walk straight on through. I can attest to this shit. I went to Amsterdam on you.
I'm there with you. I can early because I can be wearing just like a regular like jeans and a t-shirt. Nah, nigga. You don't meet dress code. And then 5 seconds later, someone that don't have my particular complexion, same outfit. Oh, you good? Come on in.
Yeah, it just hurts knowing that like this person was one of us. To which in the protest video, I can't play. I want to say I can play the clip. I'll find the clip first. But basically, the guy who was protesting was saying, you know what? A lot of times it's us who act like them. He was saying like black people that like the security guard act like the white people that they are policing the buildings for because of the magnitude that they're living and the things that they're doing, which he said it more like eloquently than I could ever put it. I'm hoping to find a clip, but I want to get a voicemail out of the way. We got two of them. So while I find a clip, Q, do you mind pressing that button for me? Hopefully y'all do not say anything racist or sexist or anything derogatory because your ass is getting blocked. I'm not playing.
Sure. Yeah. Here we go. I'll play it.
For me, I think I've been locked up so long. I'm so excited to get back and start doing things with other people that if something goes wrong, if they don't go the way I expect them to, if these dreams I've had all winter of like this hot summer don't pan out, that might cause for me a little bit of panic. I might pick up a bowling ball.
That is funny. That is funny.
That's my perspective. Right?
That is definitely a perspective, but we respect it. He was respectful in his perspective, so thumbs up for that. Next voicemail. Here we go.
That's just their way of covering their own ass. They're trying to give the blame over to somebody else so that they can save face. It's sad, but that's just the way society is now.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Of course. Lack of accountability.
Yep. Thanks to the former guy.
Yep. I just the whole thing, it kind of fucked me up because it was like, yo, like did you have to? Like not only did you have to, it's like, yo, why? Like nothing you were doing was like it was right. All that shit just Nelly's, they have to answer for that shit. I hope that, you know, they don't just take this week off as being like, all right, it'll blow over. Shit like this don't blow over. We are in the era now, mind you, the week, the first fucking week that the world opens up. This is what y'all do?
Mm-hmm. Right.
So when y'all end up getting closed down for good,
they're
good.
They're not going to get closed down for good. I'm just letting you know that right now. They're not going to get closed down for good.
No, they're going to get rebranded for sure.
They make it. I don't even think that happens. Nelly's is a staple of the LGBTQ community in DC. They're not getting rebranded. They're not getting closed down. Muriel will be run the fuck out of office if that ever happens. Like yesterday.
It's not from the
LGBTQ plus people of color.
Mm-hmm.
The non-black LGBTQ people will run her the fuck out of town if Nelly's was to ever shut down because of this.
But here's the thing. One of the guys, I really want to find this clip because he had mentioned the mayor in his speech, like in his protest speech. And he said the shit so beautifully. I was like, yo, like if I could find that fucking clip.
She runs for re-election in 22, she does not get re-elected. We're going to have a new mayor in 23.
Yeah.
I'm saying we, because right now I'm still a DC resident for at least the next year. But Muriel is done.
Yeah.
Muriel's done.
Yeah, I hope that, you know, she gets justice. I want to say her name was Alexis. Some shit, just watching a clip. I've been watching a clip like 3 or 4 times since this shit actually kicked off. Wildest thing ever. I'm hoping and praying for their downfall at this point, because that's fucked up.
It
fucked me up.
You and I know a plenty of bouncers, of bartenders, bar staff, restaurant staff in DC, even though I haven't been there in 6 months, I haven't been home in 6 months, but we know a lot of people. That just does not happen. Now, there was a time at a former establishment that we frequented a lot that someone was thrown down the stairs, but they were fighting. But to drag a woman, I don't care what her race was.
Yeah.
To drag a woman by her hair down a flight of steps.
Yeah, that's just absolute piece of shit.
Absolutely unacceptable. Absolutely unacceptable. But Greg, if you want to continue to look for that clip, go ahead. Yeah, two.
Hold on. I think Iris has something to say. What were you about to say, Iris?
Did anybody, like, what was happening that they felt that this was the way to answer or remedy whatever situation was going on? Did they say anything about what was happening?
It shouldn't even matter.
What do they think?
Q, let her finish.
I'm sorry, Iris.
No, I'm not saying this right regardless, but I'm so curious to what they felt regarding that was the answer to, that was like, what was the justification in their brain that they thought that was
Who knows? But okay, regardless,
so they didn't say anything. We just
I haven't really paid attention to DC news. Like I get the Fox 5 and WSA 9 alerts because I have the app on my phone, so I can see a little bit of what's going on in DC. But I don't know. But if any regardless of the justification, it's wrong. You don't drag a woman down a flight of fucking steps by the hair. Like, that's just completely unacceptable. And if someone who knows the industry in DC, knows the restaurant industry in DC, and Greg and I know a lot of people in the industry, that's just unacceptable. Like, it's just completely unacceptable.
What I'm going to do is send this, you know, to the group chat. Maybe Iris wants to read this because this is heavy. This is heavier than I thought it was. I wasn't expecting this to take this much time. You haven't said a lot this episode, but if you could, please, there's a tweet that I sent. If you could read this, I guess the listeners can actually hear this shit, because I'm not the best public speaker, even as a podcaster. I will say this, though, Q. Nelly's, like I said, they're going to get shut the fuck down.
Well, can I go ahead and read it? I'll read it. You want me to read it?
I want Iris to read it if she wants to read it.
Okay. No, you can go ahead and read it because you know a little bit more about this. Go ahead.
I'll read it. Okay, so this is like a Facebook post. Yeah, this is the Facebook post by Rogue Darts. Rogue Darts players, many of you have been asking about the Summer 21 season, a disturbing event that happened last weekend at Nelly's, our sponsor venue. The Darts Board did not want to rush into any conclusions and has been in discussions to ensure we understood the facts as they emerged. One, a third-party vendor providing its own contractors was hired to provide security specifically for Pride Weekend. A male contractor, not a Nelly's employee, was videotaped dragging a young Black female by her hair violently down the steps. While Nelly's regrets the mistreatment and disrespect of its guests, the bar will still be held responsible for all staff, employees, and vendors it hires in their actions. In the first 72 hours since the horrific incident, Nelly's has, A, made a public statement apologizing, condemning this behavior, B, fired the third-party security vendor and its contractors, C, continued to work with the police and assist in the full investigation, D, closed for the week while still paying non-security staff, and E, will use this week to hear community and neighborhood, BIPOC, and LGBTQ plus groups' concerns on how to address this incident and make this space more safe and friendly. The Rogue Darts Board recognizes Nelly's has taken the first proactive steps in addressing this serious issue. However, at this time, the board is still considering options, but we'll wait to see what positive discussions, constructive opportunities, and impactful solutions are presented from these discussions to help rectify the issues. Rogue Darts has always had a safe and welcoming environment for our league and all of our players, and we will hold our partners to that same standard as well. Please stay tuned for further decisions, as the discussions unfold. We also recognize and respect the diversity of opinions and feelings on this important topic. If you have registered for the Summer 21 season and no longer wish to participate, blah, 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 we'll refund your money. No questions asked. So that is one, and Rogue Darts is a big big partner. Like Nelly's is one of their biggest sponsors.
Absolutely.
They did side with them. I don't know how this is going to go about. Greg, I understand completely where you're coming from. I just don't know. I really don't know. And Brooklyn just took the lead.
Yeah. Well, we're not talking basketball, Q. We talking.
I just saw that.
Let's not do that no more. Because I'm serious about this shit right now. It actually hurts knowing that we have like family and friends that are a part of the community. Yeah. Don't bring up sports. No offense, bro, but nah. Here's the clip. I finally found the clip. Let's go.
Body down the steps.
Binary family. We need to stay steadfast.
And regardless of if she had a bottle or not,
just want to give a little history lesson. In 1969, we had the first riot for Black queer people that we actually recognize to this day. Stonewall, but it was not the first riot. We had Cooper's Donuts. We had the Black Cat Tavern. We had many things that we were actually protesting against. And we know almost 50 years later, people like Marsha P. Johnson, Sylvia Rivera are rolling over in their graves because of how much they see these white and Black people still coming to Nelly. Still, after appropriating our culture. Still, after stealing our bodies. Still, after commodifying our culture. Still, after gentrifying our community. Still, after stealing our information. Still. It is inexcusable for a Black person to be dragged from the top. Do not see the top this way. They're guarding it right now because, of course, the cops really care about property and not people. Right? Because we know cops care about property and not people. We see them every day standing in front of Nelly, but not in front of us. They let a man hit a woman over here. No one
that was me.
No another one was there.
They didn't give a fuck.
So when I say respect black women, y'all say protect black women. Respect black women.
Protect black women.
Respect 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 black women.
If we got any more in there, stay out of the bar into the street.
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 We do not need this racist white establishment.
So that was one clip from a guy by the name of Preston Mitchum. I don't want to say his name incorrectly. He had another clip that was, you know, I'm still trying to find that one. He spoke on the D.C. mayor. He talked just like eloquently about said shit. Maybe I'll find it in post and everything like that. But we have to move. We have to move along because this might be the 3-year anniversary. But I have something that's bothering me. I have something that's bothering me. I have to whisper this because it's bothering me.
All right, here we go.
All right. Cause since we're talking women and we're talking like, you know, all lives and things like that, right? Not all lives matter, but we're just talking like the encompassing thing. There was a tweet where a woman sent screenshots of a dude that I guess she was talking to. She didn't post the entire conversation, just the highlights, to which he texted her, "I only raped you once. Chill out."
What?
What?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What?
Yeah. I don't know where these motherfuckers were raised. I honestly do not know. She put his phone number out and everything. Everybody is going ham on this dude on Twitter. It's been all day long. The text say, "I only raped you once, but chill." She says, "It doesn't matter." He says, "It do." WTF, aka what the fuck. She says, "No, it don't. The fuck, you proud of yourself?" He says, "I didn't plan it. I didn't overdo it either. So why are you mad at me?"
What?
These are the new niggas.
What the fuck is wrong with... I'm glad my kids are upstairs. What the fuck is wrong with cisgendered male?
I know we went from one heavy topic to another, but we can make this one real brief. Whatever happens to him, happens to him. Some shit. What? What?
I only raped you once, unquote. So chill, unquote.
Yo, I have
what?
I've seen a lot in my day. I've been on Twitter for a very long time. That probably was the wildest fucking thing I've ever seen in my life.
Honestly, as a woman, I can't say I'm very surprised. This shit is more like, this shit is just like way more common than some folks would like to believe. So I just think I'm no longer shocked or surprised by anything like this, because these specific men, like, they're not ever really held accountable. They're always somebody kind of like enabling them. And I'm not even talking about the women who don't feel comfortable like coming forward, but I'm talking about like the people around them who just enable this type of behavior and stuff. Cause like somehow it's really funny to your girl how like so many women either were themselves or know somebody who was sexually assaulted, but nobody knows an abuser or a rapist.
All the worst. Just all the fucking worst. I can't wish anything but the worst in that circumstance. And the reason why I had to bring that into it is because it was on the docket and I didn't want to touch on it too long. So there was that. We already touched on like the home prices and stuff like that. I really don't want to talk about the humpback whale story. It's actually kind of gross now that I think about it. So we're just going to leave that alone. Do y'all want to touch on Darius the chef?
Yeah, let's lighten this up. Let's lighten this up a little bit.
So, I can't really say anything about Darius the Chef except for his surviving Darius story is going to be absolutely fucking nuts. For anybody who is not familiar with who Darius the Chef is,
wait, you called him Darius Chef. You talking about Darius Cooks?
Yes. Chef Cooks, okay. Whatever fucking whomever said guy is, whoever he is, it started off when I first saw the tweets. It sounded like one chef hating on another chef. That's what it felt like in my personal opinion. And boy, was I wrong. I've never seen a snowball effect happen on Twitter that lasted for 9 days. And it's still going. So much so that it spilled over into forums that I'm on, like the Collie and SOHH. And then one of my friends sent us a link to Lipstick Alley. For anybody who is not familiar with Lipstick Alley. If you're not familiar with Lipstick Alley, don't. Just don't get familiar with them. And that's the best I can say. Just don't. Homeboy apparently, he hits his employer, his former employers. He steals recipes, and he's just an overall bad chef. To which I talked on the lunch break room about, like, these people who start up these businesses and stuff like that, and they actually, like, they're really bad at business. Darius is, like, at the top of this list right now, because not only was he stealing recipes, he would take photos that looked like the photos that he stole. Recipes without giving credit. And then he would tag the people in it. I told you he's hitting women and stuff like
that. What a fucking asshole.
Yo, like, you have to be a wild dude to steal somebody's recipe and then tag them in the photo. Like, that's not giving credit. That's stealing the fucking, like, what are we doing here?
That's intellectual property you're taking, which is a federal offense.
Yeah. So the Kitchenista says, I'm sorry, she got a tweet that says, "This man is a con artist. I was a server at his seafood restaurant in Atlanta, and he got arrested for putting his hands on me after I had a fit after he didn't pay me for working for him for almost a month. I never got paid." So to which Angela, a.k.a. the Kitchenista, says, "Wait, he physically assaulted you? How much does he still owe? Please let us know so we can support." "Yes, he picked me up and dragged me out of the restaurant." Again, woman getting dragged out of a fucking establishment. "These two women that were dining there had to stop him. He had the nerve to call the police on me, but he ended up getting arrested because it was all on camera." I never knew who this dude was. Apparently, it was a restaurant everybody liked, past tense, in Atlanta called Soul Crab. Never had it. There's stories of this guy. I would tell you guys to do your Googles or do your Twitter searches for Darius Cooks. Not everybody can own a business. Not everybody should start a business. And more importantly, some of you niggas are good at being an employee. And then there's some of you who aren't. Darius Cooks, he's just bad all the way around. Like, how do you steal a recipe and then tag the person that you stole it from? That is the wildest fucking, that is wild to me. That's like us doing a podcast and then somebody just stealing all of our content and then tag us on the show and not credit us for us doing the docket. Like, wait a minute. We just talked about the same shit. Now you're talking about it and you tag us in it. But the thing is, he didn't tag it like, you know, on Instagram, it'll let you like tag the person in the photo. Oh no. He at them in the actual, like, the caption. So at that point I was like, okay, so he just really don't give a fuck. He just does not give a shit what y'all think, how y'all feel. So you know what? all the worst to him as well. This feels like one big ass "What's Bothering Us" episode. So let's make it a little less. I think Iris, I think you had something that you wanted to speak on. So I'm ready to hear about these flyout stories because I didn't know people were still getting flued out.
So here's the thing. This is just what I've seen. I haven't really seen the flyout stories as much as I've seen people debating back and forth what flyouts mean and what parties are responsible for or what the obligations are or what the expectations are when you agree to be flued out or when you fly somebody out. So
there's a whole bunch of people going back and forth arguing about like if sex is like mandatory, if it is non-negotiable, if it is expected in a flyout situation. And like a lot of back and forth about it, but I just feel like all of these problems can be solved by clearly communicating with the person who you plan on like doing this with. I know that everybody wants to go on a vacation. Folks want to get flued out. Folks want to like do their thing and they want to have a little rendezvous or whatever, explore a new city on somebody else's dime. I don't know. But like, y'all should be having conversations with these people about like what y'all going to do. And like, are y'all just cool? Are y'all just friends? Are you, they really under the expectation that something else going to happen? Like, how does this whole thing come about?
Exactly.
Like, I feel like, are y'all not talking? Like, are people just not talking? I'm so confused.
Yeah. I've always wondered that because, like, you know, us men, we're, like, I know for a fact I'm entitled. So, like, if I want some ass, like, I'm just of the magnitude. I'm like, you know what? Like, I want some ass. And I'm not going to fly anybody out to do it. But men do that shit. They're like, oh, if I flew her out, she got to fucking suck me. That's how men think. Sadly enough, it's true. But the thing, you know, for me, it's like, why couldn't you just get somebody who lives in your town or your area? Like, why, like, there were just no available people who like you enough that you have to fly them out. And your expectation is, you know what? I got you the buddy pass. So now you got to give me some ass. That's not how that's supposed to work. This is coming from the guy who, like, in, you know, full transparency here, like, when I was out here doing, like, you know, whole activities, like, there will be women who can attest, like, you know, hey, I'm coming into town, like, one of my friends, they got a buddy pass, blah, 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 blah. They would come out, they would stay with me, like, we have fun, we hang out, probably do whatever we do, and then they go back. Like, cool, that's one thing, but there was no expectations there. When it comes to now, men have the idea of, I flew you out, you owe me something. Nas and Genuine is not the motto that you need to go with. That song, just delete that off your playlist.
Right.
Delete that off your playlist. I'm trying to understand how men are going and saying, you know what? Like, I'm doing the bare minimum. I'm flying you out. I'll let you stay with me. Or honestly, half the times people getting flued out, the women are buying their own hotels. The guy's just flying them out. So it's like, okay, once you get here, you got to figure out where you're going to stay. So you're staying with your homegirl. You're staying at a hotel. Because you can't stay with that nigga. And if you are, then, you know, it is what it is. But I just think most men, just stop. Like, if you're going to fly them out, like, you know, even before you fly them out, like, let it be known that you want fuck. And let that person decide if they want to do it, you know, to do that or not.
Right.
Here's the thing. Even if they say when they're in their home state or on home base, they're like, you know what? Yeah, I want to fuck. When they get to wherever you are and they decide they don't want to fuck, you can't act differently. Like, they have the opportunity and the chance and honestly the right to say, you know what? I don't want to do this shit no more. Have you ever gone to like fucking Chipotle and they're like, hey, yo, the guacamole is extra? You have an option there. You're like, nah, I don't want that motherfucking guacamole. No, I'm okay. I'll go and get it my own. So, I don't know where this notion for men, like, where it came from. Because when I look back at my life and Q's life and our friends' lives and stuff like that, whenever something like that happens, where it's like we're talking to a woman and she's not interested, we move the fuck on. And I can honestly attest to that. And the reason why is because, like, you know, I don't want to say we're, like, the elite of the elite. But it's like, oh, like, if you get turned down, why are you still trying? Like, it's okay to just, nah. Like, you know what? You go on your merry way, you're fine. But men are actually flying women out and expecting things. You can't expect shit from somebody who honestly don't owe you nothing. So, fella, y'all got to get that shit together, man.
I also think it is important to note that, yes, even if you have decided, like, I feel like you can, like, people can revoke consent at any time, especially if, like, let's say you go somewhere and then, like, somebody starts, like, behaving different, acting different. Like, if people be trying to do Twitter flyouts or Instagram flyouts, and it's like, you don't really know this person. So it's like, you can find this person, get to actually know this person, meet this person in person, and decide, nah, I'm not really about to do this anymore. But I also say this.
if you are going to allow yourself to be food out or whatever, always have a contingency plan, whether Max. It's just like you got your credit card, you got something to be able to, because I'm just like, don't put yourself in a position where somebody can just be like, okay, nah, you actually stuck here with me. You better have at least enough money to get you an Uber to someplace safe, get you a exactly. hotel for a couple of nights, or have somebody else in town or something. Have a contingency plan, because these people are not reliable. And like, especially if you don't know them like that, like.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. This is a great segue, but we have two voicemails. So Q, if you could play those voicemails, because I'm going to touch on something that I want your personal opinion.
Okay, gotcha.
We might have to skip Dope a Note tonight for this one. So
no, not a problem. Not a problem with me. Here we go. First one.
You got the 69? Well, I don't like 69, bro. I got 33, bro. 33, bro. 33, that's not even 69, bro. You can make it 36, 36, bro. Or you want, like, I mean, 699. How about 699?
What?
What? I actually let that play because I'm like, maybe there's a point to this message. And then it was like, what?
Of course.
Oh, yeah. God. All right. Jesus. Hopefully this next comment is a substantial comment. Here we go.
Yeah.
I think the person you're referring to who did the protest video is Preston Mitchum. So yes. If you just Google yes. Preston Mitchum and Nelly's protest, it should probably come up.
Yes. And that's the thing. I was looking for him.
Yeah.
The issue is they're like the one that clip that I played, it was, you know, a woman in the background. She was talking and it was also like being signed in that video. So it was kind of like fuzzy. YouTube, it didn't have the proper clip. It had a bunch of like activism that he had in regards to something else. So I'm hoping that I can find the clip. I will look for it again. Maybe like, you know, after this little segment, I'll play that clip again. But boy, let's just get into it. What do y'all want to talk about first? Do y'all want to talk about ransoms or you want to talk about walking in? I'm not going to give you any context to what I'm saying. You just get to pick ransoms or walking in.
Let's go ransoms.
Well, we got ransoms in the title, so let's go
all right.
That one.
All right, this is perfect. This is perfect for anybody who is listening. Yeah. For anybody who is listening to anybody who is listening to the Young Black and Bothered podcast. This is new for us. Usually we have like segments with a whole bunch of like gossip and stuff like that, but we're trying to do things differently for the 3 year. 3 years, we're gonna do something different. Everybody, I think going forward, you know, each week we'll have, you know, one of us come up with a topic or something interesting, and we're gonna just discuss it. Doesn't have to be long, but it can depending on what it is. So in terms of ransoms, how do y'all feel about them? Like, do you feel like, have you seen the movie Ransom, like with Mel Gibson? I'll just start there. Have you seen that movie at all?
You know, I don't watch movies. God damn it.
Okay. All right. Let me
what a ransom is.
Okay. So y'all know exactly what a ransom is. So if you found $100,000 in a duffel bag and nobody around, would you take it all, a portion, or what?
Give me the bag.
You know what? I feel like somebody's probably going to be coming back looking for it, so I would probably just take some.
Take some?
Nah, give me the bag. I got kids. They're expensive.
Okay. See, that is great. And I'm hoping the listeners, shout out to Lou, shout out to Maria, shout out to Drayden Taylor, the guys who were that in here. I know there were a couple people walking in and out. Thank y'all for actually listening. But here's my question. What if you get home with this bag, say, or even if you don't take the entire bag, you just take like out of the 100,000, you might take 40,000. You take 40 grand out of that 100,000, or you take the entire bag. You get home, turn on the TV, and you see on the news that the duffel bag was actually a ransom, and you won't get in trouble for returning it. Would you return it, and why?
No. Again, I have kids. They're expensive.
That's the realest answer.
Hold on.
What about you,
Iris? Hold on. This just, aren't people supposed to be watching the ransom to make sure random people don't just come and
you just gotta go with it. Like, the reason why I said, like, you know, shout out to Ray. So she brought this up in the group. So basically she said, with the ransom, like, say if it's left in a place, nobody's there, there are no cops, there's no people, they just say leave it at this undisclosed location and leave. Y'all
literally
can't go
wrong.
So the question though is, knowing the information that you know now that you're at home, that, you know what, you won't get in trouble for returning the money that you randomly found, would you? Now, there's three reasons why. And well, there's three caveats to this.
I just say, come on, you know my answer. No, I have kids. They're expensive.
Okay. No, they're expensive.
Like a little bit of it, so.
Okay. I feel like Iris would take $40,000. She's like, you know what? She returned $5,000. Was like, you know what? Like, yeah. Like somebody else must have took the rest before I got here.
Right, I'm like, I just,
you know, and there's three categories with this. Now, with this ransom, right? Depending on these three categories, I want you to tell me if you would return it or keep it. Well, actually, two categories: would you return it or would you keep it? Would you return it if you know that the ransom is for a 20-year-old man?
No. Kids are expensive.
Would you return the $100,000 ransom if it was a white baby?
Hell no! Kids are fucking expensive!
So the reason why I asked that, they asked that in the group as well. And somebody had the most ingenious answer. They said, well, if they had $100,000 and it's a white baby, you know they got $100,000 more in the bank. And at that point, I said, you know what? You are absolutely fucking right. You're absolutely right. So I would probably still keep the 100K. So question number three is, if it was a black baby and it was a $100,000 ransom and you wouldn't get in trouble for returning it knowing that you could possibly save the kid's life, would you return it?
Let me tell you why this is just, I'm sorry, who came up with this scenario?
This is Ray.
I'm just poking mad holes in it because if now, if there was nobody watching the money, first of all, everybody, like y'all trash kidnappers, y'all trash kid care abouters, like y'all are just not good. I watch a lot of procedurals, okay? I watch a lot of Law and Order. Somebody should be watching that money to make sure a random stranger does not go off with it. But if there's nobody like that involved yet, but now it's on the news, so then now police and stuff are involved, they got enough money that they got an evidence and shit that they took from drug operations, sting operations, and all these other operations. So they can replenish that, and now they have enough ransom money to save the person. Because what if I'm too late? Like, what if I wasn't watching the news? Like, what if I just wasn't, and it's like, what? Y'all don't got a ransom fund at the police department? Like, I feel like there should be a ransom fund. And then y'all just catch whoever. And then boom. Like, I don't see how me just finding some money, because like it is unlikely that I would turn on the news for real anyway to look to on that specific day and that specific time, that specific night after finding some money or whatever. I'm probably somewhere out spending it or trying to figure out what to do with it and figure some things out like that. I'm not worried about where the money came from at this point. So I don't know. I know I just like fucked up the whole scenario. That was not even the question, but I'm just like, hey, or not, something ain't right. Somebody else can go ahead and fill in the look. Cause I didn't even take the whole thing. I only took like $20,000. Like, so y'all could find some $20,000 from someplace else. And simply would loan me a loan. Because first of all, what is it to say? And also the other things with randoms, like we do not negotiate with terrorists. Like the other thing with ransom is like, how do you know that they didn't already like take the baby away and is like
exactly
doing black market adoptions? Like, I just feel like y'all could let me have my little $25,000 to $60,000.
Okay. That's fair. That's fair. And Q said kids are expensive, so I'm gonna just let him live with that one. So, the last little thing before we get out of here, we're not gonna do Dope and Nope this week for the 3-year anniversary. We may bring it back next week
after last week with all them nopes that we had.
We'll bring it back next week. But I want to leave you guys with a tweet before we get into the unpopular opinions. We do have to do unpopular opinions. We don't stop with those. This tweet by Big Mama V, she says, my 15-year-old son just walked in on me giving the sloppiest top. What do I do now? To which, here's my issue with this. oversharing is not a good thing. You definitely don't overshare. So this girl, I don't know her. She follows me. I follow her. Twitter was going absolutely nuts on, you know, like at her, because some things just like you realize you didn't have to say that. Why'd you say it? And it's dumb. So she went and she said that her and her son, like her son walked in on her sucking dick and she locked eyes with him and kept going.
What?
Yeah.
First, mm-hmm. Where are you getting this stuff from?
This is Twitter.
Wait. Repeat this again, because I'm focused on the game. I'm focused on the game right there. Wait.
Yeah. So one more. Big Mama. Yeah. So Big Mama V says on Twitter, my 15-year-old son just walked in on me giving the sloppiest top. What do I do now?
Keep going.
No, what the fuck? No, you don't.
No. I'm just kidding.
Q, you gotta go. You gotta go.
No, I don't.
What the fuck? Yo, I couldn't even come up with like an idea of what the fuck, because why are you telling the entire fucking world you sucked and you locked eyes with your kid while you were doing it? Police help. We got to start arresting people for the shit they say on Twitter, because y'all be getting away with legitimate murder and, you know, and people don't be questioning the shit that y'all do. The fact that she said she sucked dick and her kid walked in, the number one thing people said was, do we just not lock doors? To which I said, you know what? That's the best answer right there. If you were like, I lock our door when we go to bed. So I'm trying to figure out, like, if you're having sex and you got kids in the house, like, isn't like the law to just like lock the door? I thought that was like kind of standard.
The law. I also, as a child, I was very much, I would knock on the door a lot, because I would just be like, knock on the door several times, do the whole RA knock thing and everything, because I'm just like, I don't want to walk in on no shit.
Like, yeah. I guess that's me, like, showing my age, Q, as well. I guess all of us showing our age. Some shit just, like, we get it. You like sex and you nasty, but there's a difference between being nasty, like nasty, and just be like, nah, you nasty. Like, you know what I mean? Like, being nasty, like, ooh, she nasty. And then just like, no, like, you just nasty.
Wildly inappropriate. We can't even just wildly inappropriate. Like,
yeah, like I just, she also tweeted. Oh, go ahead.
Because like I know some people walk in on their parents having sex, but like you could easily, like, depending on like the position and what the goings on is, you could easily finesse it and act like y'all wasn't really doing it.
Yeah,
it's like, but oh, I was asleep. We were wrestling, but not those. Yeah.
How do you keep? Here's the thing. How do you keep a dick in your mouth and then look at your kid and keep going and not want to honestly just like jump out of your like a 4-story balcony window and like and land on your pinky? I don't want you to kill yourself. Just land on your pinky. I need you to hurt just a little bit, because the same person tweets shit like, take my butt plug out and use it like a pacifier.
Who do you follow?
Here's the thing. These people are not, like, I don't say I follow these people on Twitter. Twitter's algorithms, honestly, just if you say something that's shock value and more than 10 people retweet that shit, it just goes. Like, and it's people that I follow. And I'm like, oh, like, that person just tweets sports all day. The only reason I found out about this is because literally Queen Naja, of all people, was talking about it on Twitter. Celebrities were going in on this.
Okay. I know with me, myself personally, if I know a person who's always retweeting bullshit onto my timeline, I mute them, because I don't need to see that. I like to keep my timeline very pure and wholesome and, you know, pure. That's why I've been following the same people since like college.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want it to change too much because this shit, they just be some wild shit on Twitter, and I'd be like, I don't ever need to see this because now I want to bleach my eyes, and I'd be like, I just
not bleach your eyes though. That's crazy. But yeah. We have a couple voicemails. I will say this again, Q. Definitely block the shit out of them if they say anything disrespectful, as usual. We have three from Ghost Chase.
Three things, so
it's definitely somebody trolling. I hope not, but it's definitely somebody trolling.
We will see. We will see. We got
y'all all trash, bro.
See.
Actually,
yeah. Want to play 1 year old. You know what? I actually want to play this next one for like 2 seconds.
It's the same.
Go for it.
It's the same. I know. Hold on. I want to laugh. So here we go.
So you do work. No, this ain't just for grown ups too.
So you do
work. No, this ain't just for grown ups too.
Yo, what happens when you?
That makes me want to play this last comment. I'm scared, but
Q, this is your fault.
Y'all are trash, bro.
And thank you, because you are now reported. Actually, I need to change that report to underage. And you are now blocked.
Well, if you look at their profile, Q, like I did, they have talks that say this is for only people under 18. Yeah, well, they should.
They're now reported and blocked, so it doesn't matter. Wait a minute.
Absolutely. Okay, anyway. Yeah. So let's go ahead and get up out of here before it gets too late. It's already 11:06, and I want to smother my wife with loving. So, where can they follow y'all on social media so we can get up out of here?
You can find me on Instagram. Instagram. That whole lag shit that be happening. Oh, technology. But yeah, you can find me on Instagram at OHiris. That's OHiris. It is linked on my Stereo account. So yeah, check me out over here.
You can follow me on Twitter, the blue bird at QDZ1906. It's in the profile. You can also follow my Cash App at $QDZ1906. And oh yeah, fuck Instagram. That shit sucks. Bye bye.
Absolutely. You can follow us at Young Black Pod on Instagram or Why Be Bothered on Twitter. And for, you know, I guess for the next sports desk, I'm just going to let everybody know I said 52 points. He had 49. With that being said, ladies and gentlemen,
You did. He came damn close and they won. You said they was going to score. Actually, I said it was going to score over 50. That KD was going to score over 50 and they lose. But
yep.
The Dark Knight.
I said.
The Dark Knight came back.
Yeah. We're going to see how the thing shakes.
Actually, he's not even the Dark Knight. He's the Bearded Knight. The Bearded Knight came back.
Oh, Lord. Well, save some for the sports. That's, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening live on Stereo. Yeah. So thank you guys for listening on Stereo. Thank you for listening on all your podcast platforms. We will see you next week.
See y'all.
Hey, do you have the Wi-Fi password? Common words everyone has said in an airport, coffee shop, or any public place with free internet. Don't fall victim to internet hackers while using free internet thanks to NordVPN. NordVPN is one of those services you tell yourself you don't need until it's too late. We've used the NordVPN to browse the web, check bank accounts, and even stream apps like Netflix. It's the only VPN service that lets you bypass ISPs, perfect for when your job has sites you frequent like Facebook is blocked. It's the best VPN service you can get for both price and performance. Install NordVPN on up to 6 devices, including your smartphone, tablet, and desktop, and experience the service for yourself. Start protecting yourself and your content with NordVPN by heading over to nordvpn.com/YBAB at checkout and save 75% on your subscription.